Greetings to everyone this morning in the name of Jesus. The prophets in the Old Testament, they often used illustrations to bring out a point. I think it was Isaiah laid on his one side for over 100 days and laid on the other side for another 100 or so days, and all those things were illustrations for a point to bring out. To get the people's attention and try to get them to see something. We all need vision sometimes, and so we all need visuals. Sometimes God will give us a vision in the heart. If I have a vision in the heart, there's things that I see. There's things that I see in my spirit, in my heart. Amen? I have a vision. I'm going somewhere. Another way we get a vision is when we actually see something or see a demonstration. I like something I can see or touch or feel or even smell. Basically become a part of. Then I'm able to get a hold of it at times. I would like to begin the message this morning with an illustration. And I need some willing volunteers. Let me tell you what I'm looking for. I need seven. I want to illustrate seven different age groups. So I will need seven sets of parents. You might want to know how long this is going to take. I'm not sure. Maybe 10 minutes, maybe 20. Depends on how much you as parents get involved. Each set of parents should bring at least one of the children of that specific age group along. If you have more that you need to bring along, that's fine. I know some of you have children you need to watch. And I'm asking the husbands to choose to be a part of this. And then if you wives see that your husband has decided he will come up, then would you come and follow him? And bring one of your children along according to that age group. Son or daughter. Now for this exercise, you may need to be willing to become somewhat vulnerable and allow the rest of the congregation to look into your heart and life a little bit, your soul. You may need to share a bit on the light in light of the subject on hand, which I will introduce to you after you come up. But let me give you a clue. Nehemiah, he was told by Hanani that the captives that had escaped and were of the remnant in Jerusalem, he heard that the walls were broken down and the gates burned with fire. And he wept, and he mourned, and he sat, and he fasted, and he prayed. And God did something. So for the first, that's the clue as to where we're going. So I would like to start with the parents of a courting couple in the church. Is there a father here who would be willing to come up? You have a courting couple in your home. I'm excluded because I'm the preacher this morning. And you can bring that courting couple along. Do I have a volunteer? We don't have any courting couples here? Well, I'll call for the next ones then. Parents of teenagers age 16 through 20. Could I have a volunteer for that? Thank you. Next, I'd like to have the parents of the 12 through 15 year olds. Any father here who's brave enough to come up? Who thinks his wife will follow him? Where are the men? Okay. Thank you for that. Now I'd like to have the parents of to represent the 8 through 11 year olds. Okay, thank you for that. Now I'd like to have the parents of the 2 through 7 year olds. Do you have any parents that would be willing to take part? Amen. Thank you, brother. Do we have the parents here of a newborn child in the last couple months or maybe up to a year? I know we had some had a birth this week. Do we have the parents of the and don't have any children yet, but they're pregnant with their first baby, that we're willing to come up? Maybe it's a secret. We're still missing one set of parents here. Do we have a volunteer?
I asked Joe if he's a courting couple, and he says, not really. He did consent later. They get married this week.
Thank you all for being willing to be a part of a visual illustration for us this morning. The subject that is on my heart this morning is purity in our home. I'd like to hear from each of these sets of parents about what they are doing in their home for purity in their home. How are they going to have purity in their home? How will they raise their children in a pure, God-fearing way? How will we keep them from the enemy, the devil that wants to destroy and kill and steal? What are some things that you do? Or what are your visions of how you're going to have purity in your homes? Let's stand together to pray. Father, as you look upon us here this morning, we confess that we live in an impure world that it seems to be full of evil and wickedness. But we do know and believe that you have made a way for us to escape the corruption of this world through faith in the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Lord, would you impress upon our hearts the need for purity in our homes today? Would you give us a vision, Father, of how we might hold on to the purity of Christ? How we might keep ourselves pure? how we might walk in this sinful, sin-cursed earth as a perfect light and testimony in the purity of Christ, a demonstration of God Himself to those around us. Father, I pray that You would visit us as we consider Your Word and allow our hearts to be opened so that You might receive glory, so that some of our families here might hear, might see, might be able to catch a vision of purity, the need and the possibility of it. Also, Lord, give us eyes to see the damage where there has not been purity. We cast ourselves upon You, Lord, and commit ourselves to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation may be seated. All right, I'm going to begin with the parents of the unborn. I'm going to need a mic up here. And so I would like to just to hear a little bit from you here in the beginning as to some things that you've thought about, talked about, or visions that you have for this little baby. How are you going to raise it? How are you going to keep it pure? Is it going to be pure when it's born? I mean, yes. Take that little baby in your hands and look into its face, and you know that what has happened in your heart. Maybe you want to share about what has already happened in your heart as you realize you're going to be parents. Go ahead.
When I think of stuff that Sarah and I have talked about, I think about just what's already happened in our hearts is just the fact that it's a huge responsibility, and also there's still a lot of processing going on. Just realizing that the baby will be here soon, and figuring out I don't know that we've thought a whole lot about stuff just about an early age, but I mean, just first of all, just as I was thinking about it just now, I was just thinking that for us to live in such a way that we live above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and that just because what I think the biggest thing for us, for me, is just wanting to show our child and our children the love of God and the path of life that God has given us. And just so on one hand, we want to show them the right path and love them in such a way that we can only love them because of God's love in our life. And so that's the one thing we want to show. We want to show them the positive and the all the good things about purity and righteousness. But then, on the other hand, I guess just when you said what are things that we've talked about, I mean, just really practically, which, I mean, we've talked about the fact that it's I don't want our children, I see so many children that have access to smartphones and tablets and things like that, and we're not going to let our children have access to that because we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And so purity in that sense, just from everything bad that is on there, that is available now, that I just think about the fact that it won't keep them pure, but it will give them a better opportunity to not have as big of battles to fight.
Anything you want to share?
One thing we've also talked about is that we want our children to have friends that are also friends of us, not just friends of the children, but friends of us. Another thing we do is we pray every night for our child.
Thank you. In other words, you're concerned about this child. And you've already set up a few walls. You've set up some boundaries for the child already in your hearts. Is that right? Do you have the gates there too?
I'm getting there.
And is there a watchman there? Thank you. Thank you. You can take your seat if you want. Now we're going to hear from the parents of a newborn. Just a few thoughts here as what happened in your hearts when you took this newborn, or maybe your first newborn, and you held it in your hands and you realized that it's a responsibility or something. Anything you want to share on that?
Well, first of all, it was a boy, so I was thrilled by that.
We know you have a lot of girls.
There was something that went through my mind on Alan Mackay here when he was born that just thrilled me. Never had experienced that with any of our other children to the extent that I did with him. We talked about it a lot during my wife's pregnancies, how we believe that our babies, our children, hear and know what's going on even before they're born. Like things like music and hearing us talk and laughter and things like that. Of course, we have a house full of girls, so there's a lot of, you know, gigging laughter and so forth in our house. And we believe that our unborn child heard that. He was born, I believe it was around 10 p.m. in the evening. And shortly after he was born, I took him in my arms and walked out through from the bedroom, he was born at home, through our kitchen, dining room, into the living room. And this little guy's eyes were wide open. I was speaking to him as I walked through all three of those areas, and I was explaining to him that this is where you heard Mama wash the dishes. This is where you heard all the giggling laughter at the dinner table. And then I took him into the living room area and said, this is where you heard the piano, and this is where you heard us singing and so forth. And he was taking everything in, and I believe he understood that. Anyway, as far as a vision for our children, I always like to think that our first vision for our children would be the first commandment from God, that we are to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two is love thy neighbor as thyself. And then it says, on all these hang the law of the prophets. And I always think that if we love our children the way that we love God, I believe that that will take our child down the road that we want them to go, leading a godly life and so forth. And I believe with that comes everything throughout life: integrity, trust, faith, hope. Just a little story. I was thrilled the other week. My oldest daughter was wanting to buy a car, and we found a car that she really wanted to buy, and it was a nice car. And we went to have the transfer of the title done at the local notary there where we live in Stevens. And the guy was, I'm not sure where he was from, Mexico or something like that. It was a little hard to understand him sometimes. He had a foreign accent. And but we felt that it was a car she wanted to buy. And he wanted a certain amount for the car. And just before we walked into the notary, he looked at me. He said, do you want to pay a lot of taxes or do you want to pay a little taxes? And I said, well, I want to pay the fair amount. He said, well, I don't want you to say a word when we go up to the notary. And I'm puzzled by this. What is this guy up to? So we went in, and he told the people that he's selling the car to us for half the price that he actually wanted for the car. And long story short, we weren't able to make the transfer that evening because she wasn't set up with the proper insurance, so we had to leave. And my daughter said she's not comfortable. She doesn't believe this man is honest. And she said, what else is he lying about? We did some more checking research in the car, and we ended up not buying the car. But anyway, long story short, I believe... Sorry about that. I believe that by us as parents being an example of that first commandment of God, I believe that our children will lead that life.
Thank you, Mika. To the parents that have a 2 or 7 year old, what's your vision of purity for your home?
Well, if only it was that simple. Purity doesn't happen in a vacuum. So, if we just live for the Lord and honor Him in our home, then it's simple, right? But practically, that doesn't work. So, our oldest is 5. So, there's room for parents to make laws. On boys, pants stay up. On girls, dresses stay down. That's a law. In the bathroom, the door is closed. Boys get dressed separately from girls. In real life, the children aren't alone with a doctor, so they never play doctor unless mommy or daddy is there anywhere. That's more the law side. The blessing side is the children get to go live for Jesus in front of people that don't know Him. And that's the opening comment about purity not happening in a vacuum. I don't have the answers. My wife doesn't have the answers. But we do know who does have the answers.
Amen.
And I have often prayed that I would have the faith of my 5-year-old. And so, yesterday, for instance, we went as a family and visited someone that I know through work. Spent the day with him and his friends and came home exhausted, but were able to rejoice that our children and us lived for Christ.
Did you want to say anything? Okay. Thank you for that. May the Lord give you a vision to walk out with your children. Okay. All right, we have the 8 to 11 year old parents. Is that you, Lester? You just share a little about your vision for purity for your home. What you do or...
That's a real good question. I'm not sure that I'm qualified to speak, but in the same time, I do... I remember when a vision kind of came into my mind. I talked with an older man. I and my wife made a special trip. I talked to an older man that his 3 brothers had gone astray out into the world. The one had divorced his wife. And there seemed to be a lot immorality in these young men's wives, and they're not sure, but the one man died when he was 26 years old, and rumors came out here a couple of years ago that his wife had poisoned him. And for some reason, just listening to this older man's story, how he a couple times, he wept, just stopped because he couldn't go on with his story. And there's something about a home life that was bothering this man that was 78 years old. He was telling me his home life story. And he said that his brothers and his dad did not get along. They had a lot of arguments. If there's no connection in the home, you probably have an impure home. Impurity follows where there's not a connection with the parents. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that's all you have to do is have a home life, but if you have a connection with your children, it gives you a very good platform to start on purity. Mm-hmm. And we before did not do all things right, but this was I forget what year it was that we had gone. I think our oldest children must have been about 11, 10 or 11, something like that, when we got this story of this man and the impurity that was in that home that we found out. And it just gave me a deep longing to have a relationship. And out of that, purity, impurities can be dealt with.
Thank you.
Do you want
to say something? Go ahead.
Another aspect of that connection is to actually come down and humble yourself and be on your child's level, as far as not be the commander per se, but we're in this together. Let's work together. And it's just to humble myself and even make myself vulnerable to where have I failed you? Just say it. I want to hear it. I really do.
Thank you for that. That is a 8 to 11 year old. Is it important that we as parents watch over this age group and do all we can to keep them as pure as possible? Thank you, Lester, your wife, for coming. We have the 12 to 15 year olds. Is that you all? It's a very important time of life for our children. When they're age of 12 to 15, there's changes taking place from a child to adulthood, so forth. What's your vision for your home in that area?
Well, we want to have a family that loves God with all their heart. Our children love to see videos.
Hold it close to you.
We limit it very much. I think there's can be definitely bad influences. Another thing is associations and friends to monitor that.
It's kind of interesting that we're up here. Just last evening, we were talking while we were in bed a little bit about a concern that I have in would involve this area, and that is how we dress our children. I think it's very important at a young age to dress them modestly and not to dress them in a way that would instill pride in their heart, and be very careful, even at a young age, maybe when you don't even think that they might be aware of what's going on. So that's something that that
is a burden in my heart. And also being careful not to tease my girls about guys, about other boys, like, oh, this boy might be interested in you, or he's, you know, not no teasing. There might be room for discussion with older children, but not teasing about boy-girl relationships in the home. I just being an example of purity. They learn a lot from their parents.
Thank you. Is it important? Thank you very much. Parents of a teen here, what's your vision for your home as far as purity is concerned?
I have a vision of my children growing into adulthood, and if God leads them to marry, to do so and to have a joyous marriage with no regrets, looking back on what else happened in their life before that time. I can see the damage and the scars that would cause in a person's life if they were to come into marriage with this and that regret. And at the time, they might not think of it as being regretful, but later it will affect their relationship. Some of the ways we've worked on these things is by being an example. I don't have to try very hard. I try to treat my wife just like I would want them to treat their wives. That's a positive example. I make an example by being very discreet with other women, just as I would want them to be discreet and cautious around women their age. I select the places where I do business, the places I shop, and some are not on my list as valid places because of the impure advertising and impure pictures and things at that location. So I make that example of choosing to avoid unnecessary temptation.
Good.
We pray for our children every day. And sometimes that's the topic. We very frequently look in God's Word together with the children and read the Bible as it's written, and then take lessons, applications from that. We have regular discussion about internet use, which is as good and honest as the person you're talking with. What I'm saying is that I don't have 100% control. Our children are in the age of moving from childhood to adulthood, and in this process, in this area of life, the control I have is our discussion, however much control that is allowed to bear. I choose influences that come into our home. We do not get the newspaper for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And
I guess I just want to affirm one point here that Dale was referring to. I didn't know what he was going to say, but I feel like all our goals and plans for our children are going to be compromised if we ourselves are not very faithful and pure ourselves. And I just really, really appreciate Dale's leadership in that from the time we began courting up till now. he has made what I would call radical choices about purity. In our own relationship when we courted, and then as a leader in our home and in his own personal relationship with the Lord. And I think what I would say is that when we as parents feel keenly our accountability to God, not just to each other and to our children and to the people around us, but feel keenly our accountability to God, we're going to be faithful. And that's one thing that has given me just a lot of security in our relationship, is that I don't feel like Dale is just out to protect me by being a pure man. He's out to honor the Lord. And that has made a huge difference. And that gives a lot of impetus to what he has to say then about purity in our home.
Thank you. God bless you as you keep raising your children for the Lord. Thank you for taking part. The parents of a courting couple, visions of purity.
Well, perhaps we need to begin further back. I did not have an adequate vision. I did not give protection to my children as I should have. And today, we're still, I believe, working through some of the effects of that. Probably the kindest word I could use to describe myself would be naive and passive. About relating to a courting couple and visions of purity. One advantage of being last is you can just say ditto, ditto, ditto. Some of the things that have been said is what I would say. The connection is important to me. I want to try with everything I have to keep working at the heart level relationship and opening hearts and understanding what's going on and keeping current. So that is a vision. Also, my wife and I pray. And that's important part of it. I could say ditto some of the other things too.
Thank you.
One of the things I've really tried to encourage the children to be pure in their speech. They love to have lots of fun and joke and everything, and that is one of my big burdens, is that they're very pure, to just be careful about their jokes. And even I hate bathroom jokes and that kind of thing. One of the things I just really felt too is so important to make it a safe place for the children to feel like they can come talk to us, and that we really want to be so open and share our own failures with them and our own struggles, and it's important for them to know where we've come from and what's happened in our life. And then also I like to tell them stories of especially people in our families that maybe ancestors and relatives that are still living, their stories of choices they've made in life and where it took them. And they know these people, and it really, I think, helps them to know the details and where they made the wrong choices and what happened, and they can see it for themselves. And I think that was very helpful. Yeah.
Thank you. Do you have any comments as a couple? Recording couple.
I don't know. I guess I just want to thank my parents, both my parents, for praying for us
and asking questions and caring about our hearts. I think that really is important to us, and it makes us feel good when people care about us, and especially about our hearts.
Thank you for being willing to be a part of this morning. Is purity important? What is purity? What does it mean to be pure? It would mean 100% of that substance, of the same substance, 100%. No impurities, no little speck of anything else there except of that very same substance. Purity. There's no infection. It's pure. So as we look at the purity of our homes, we, as parents, have a job on hand. There's work to be done. We must guard over the spirit of our home. And how do we do that? How do we begin as a young couple up to where we have children getting married? It's a span of about 20 years or more from the time a couple gets married and they have children, and they raise those children through those age levels. I remember my wife and I, as we were first married, we would reminisce over some of our past, the impurities, the sin that we were involved in. And one thing that was set in our hearts was, we did not want any of our children to have to go through anything close to what we had walked through in our years from, in almost every one of these categories, at least 2 to 7 year olds going up, there's things that have happened in our lives that have been painful. And we decided we are not going to have that happen for our children by God's grace. When you take that little baby into your arms, your first one, there's some such a responsibility that falls on the heart of a father and mother. This soul has been given to us by God. We have been given the responsibility of raising this child for the Lord. How can we do that? How can it be done? What are the steps that need to be taken that this child would be able to grow up in a pure atmosphere in a sin-cursed world? What folly it would be for that young couple who's expecting their first baby to go to the store and buy newborn videos, or videos for that newborn, that one-year-old, that 2 or 3-year-old, to buy a screen for them so that they can see every moment of the day, whenever they want to. They can watch anything they want to. Or the two to seven-year-olds now has, you can get video games for them and they can run the video games. This is the kind of world that we're now living in. What can we expect of that? Every parent has choices to make. The choices that we make have consequences. Long-term consequences.
Of course, we would never do that for our children. We would never go and buy video games for our 2 to 7 year olds. We wouldn't get videos for our newborn to 2 year old to occupy them, would we? We wouldn't allow them to watch these things, would we? Somehow it's closer to home than we'd like to admit, maybe. With our cell phones and our ease of videoing and everything like that, it's that 2-year-old is fascinated with it. Choices. Parents need to set up the walls. They need to put the gates on. They need to set a watchman out there. We did that in our home. We established the walls of our home, the law of the house. This is the law of the house. And we put the gates there. And we put the watchman at the gate. And I think of our home where we lived for about 25 years, 2 front doors. And almost everything that came into the house came through those doors. And we watched very carefully. The books, the mail that would come. We would watch everything. We constantly watched what came through those doors. We were the watchmen of the house. We were careful about things that came in. We didn't have internet then. We didn't have cell phones then. But where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. I want to preach this message as a message of hope. We're not without hope in a world that is full of evil. We are not without hope in a battlefield where the devil seems to be taking advantage of every area he can. Where he slips in and he comes alongside the watchman and gets the watchman to do whatever he wants him to do. And he's in the door. And the watchman doesn't even realize it. These things happen. This enemy has declared war on our children. He's using every tactic possible that he has. And some of them we're not aware of how they're being used. Music, books, games, toys, people. I remember Brother Mose preaching a message years ago called Turmoil in the Toy Box. How many of you here remember that message? Turmoil in the Toy Box. This was probably 20 years ago when he preached a message. He went down to the Toys R Us store, or one of those toy stores, and he walked up and down the aisles and he looked at the toys that are available today and talked about the turmoil that comes into the home. Because of the specific toys that are bought, those toys that have been cursed by the devil, and spirits come with them, may I say, and they will bring turmoil into your home. Parents, we've got to make choices. And we need to be wise. Now we have the menace of the media. The emptiness of entertainment. And we need to have messages on those. So that we are not blindsided. So that we recognize and realize this is where the battle is. We must watch over our children. We must pray over them like was shared here. We need to know who's with them. We need to take responsibility for their purities. For their purity. A child, from the time that he's a newborn to about 3 years old, his brain triples in size. And it's up to the parents, more or less, what happens during that time. If you take that child from the newborn days to the 3-year-old stage, which there's like a foundation that is laid in that age of newborn to 3 years old. A foundation of life is somewhat laid in their lives. If you will subject that child to lots of fast-moving pictures, videos, and movies, his attention span will get much smaller, much shorter. And as his brain develops, he will have a foundation of very, very short attention span. And we wonder why there's so much ADD today. Attention deficit. Deficiency. That's what happens. That's pretty scary. 20 years ago, was there anything about like ADD? I don't know of any child in my school growing up that had that had an attention deficit unless they were mentally impaired. Today in public schools, what percent of the children have an attention deficit problem? What percent of the children in public schools today, in this age of 7 to 12, are on some kind of medication to calm them down? And why? I think the answer is clear. But are we as parents making wise choices? We as parents, 30 years ago, we got some good training, some good teaching, some good preaching. We called a vision of purity for our homes. And we established the walls, the boundaries. We set up the gates thereof and we put the watchmen in place. And we walked it out for our children's sake, for the Lord Jesus Christ. 30 years later, we are here in 2015, and there's a whole nother sphere of the tactics of the enemy. And the parents of today, they must make choices. Be careful. Watchful. Are those movies harmless? Critical times in your lives. We must make choices who we spend time with. We must, as parents, decide whether we're going to do those things or not. And when we go over to see our friends, and they might have their boundaries at a different place, they might say, movies are okay. And so when we go there and we sit down to fellowship with dad and mom, and our children are where? And then on the way home, our children are talking about the movie they saw. And I say, uh-oh, I failed. Because we've made the choice not to watch movies in our house. And so I have to choose. I may have to choose not to come to that home again unless I really watch over the children. I believe there's so much evil and wickedness around us today. But it's not just in the movies and so forth. Many other areas also. But it's interesting as I listen to our grandchildren talking to each other. We saw this movie last week. Did you ever see the movie of the Loose Caboose? No, we never did, but we saw the Wild Train Ride. What is a grandfather's place in the house? How do we walk through those things? How do we encourage the parents to watch over the children? Be careful when you send them to grandparents' place overnight. There's uncles, there's young men there. That age bracket of 7 years old, 2 to 7 years old age bracket, I remember coming home from school, one of my first grade days, and I shared with my mom that which I had learned on the playground that day, that four-letter word and its meaning. Up to that point, I had been pure of those things. And my mother's reaction taught me that there's something very, very impure about that. About 6 years old. Sleeping at grandparents' place somewhere in the age of 7 to 10. Having been made impure and become curious. And then there was an uncle there. Going on to the next age bracket of days of puberty and so forth. I didn't understand the power, the restlessness, the change, and the heartache that comes with all of those impure things of that age group. Going on to spending time with the youth, by God's grace, there was a lot of, we had a good youth group, not without lots of sin, but in generally there was not a lot of impurity there, which was, I'm very grateful for. Going into courtship, unconverted, things to regret there. Going into marriage, still impure. My dear wife put up with me, and I put up with her. But then we came to Jesus Christ. How well I remember when Jesus, the Son of the living God, that pure, perfect, undefiled Savior, washed me of my sins and cleansed me, made me whole. And I was clean. Clean. Wow. That was wonderful. There's so many scriptures I could cover. I've been up here for about an hour. I feel like I've just begun. But I would like to bring a word of hope to us as parents this morning. If we're going to have pure children, what's one of the first things we're going to need? Pure parents. We're going to need to be pure ourselves. If I'm going to have a vision of purity for my home, I'm going to need to be pure. But how can a sinful man be made pure? I've preached on Titus 1:15 before. Unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And that's, if we take that verse apart, we see that those who are unbelievers, there's nothing pure in their lives. But to the pure, all things are pure. There's so much more I could say, but I'm not going to go much further. But I want to just close with this hope for every father and every mother here. If you're struggling with impurity in any area, maybe it's moral purity, maybe it's purity in your thoughts. Maybe it's purity in your other habits, whatever it may be. Maybe you've been struggling with music. Oh, there's so many powerful influences that war against the Spirit. In Leviticus. Let's turn to Leviticus. Actually, Exodus. Exodus, for a closing thought here. Bring a conclusion here. And this is the hope. We understand that the hope of Christ is our life today. Jesus is pure. And if I am in Jesus and Jesus in me, then I likewise also am pure by faith. I might not walk it out that way. I might not be living in it, but that's what I do believe. Let's read from Exodus 36. This is where Moses is making the tabernacle. And I want to look at one area of the tabernacle here, and specifically one aspect of it, or several aspects of it. I have a purpose in that. So Moses began to build the tabernacle in 36 there. He set up the curtains, the outer court first. And then in verse 20, actually he also made the coverings there. And then in verse 20 he made the boards for the tabernacle. He made it on shittim wood, standing up. This tabernacle is the place of worship. This is where God's presence came. This is where God's wonderful things happened inside the tabernacle when God's presence was there. And the tabernacle is a type of the church today. So we're going to look at these boards here as a type of something. Who knows what the type are? What the type of these boards are? There was 20 boards set up on the one side, and there's 20 boards set up on the other side, and there's 8 boards set up on the back side. The front side didn't have any; they had curtains there. These boards were the length of the board was 10 cubits, about 15 feet high, and the breadth of one board was 1 cubit and a half, about 24 inches. You might say. That's the size of this board, and each board had on the bottom, it had 2 tenons, or 2 little posts coming out of the bottom of each board, and those tenons were set into sockets of silver. Now, silver in the tabernacle here is the meaning of silver here is redemption, if I can say that right. And so these boards were set into silver sockets, each one, and they were side by side, and that's what made the outside of the tabernacle. Each board was set into 2 silver sockets, and those represent redemption. So you and I, so each one of us as a member of the body, we are in a sense a representation of these boards. And these boards were set on redemption. If you are in Christ today, you're standing on the redemption of Christ. And that's the picture of the silver there. He made these boards. And he set them on these silver sockets. 20 on each side, 8 in the back. And then he went and then he made rings on these boards. And if I'd be a good artist, I could draw it for you. But these boards are about 15 feet high. What held these boards together? We'd probably use 2x4s and pump nails into it to hold it together, but they made gold rings on each board. There was a ring at the top, a ring a little further down, a ring at the bottom, and a ring a little bit further up. And there was a hole in the middle of this board, and there were 5 poles, you might say, or sticks that they covered with gold. And they put those sticks through those rings to hold the boards in place. The middle ring was put right through the middle of each board, and that's how they stayed standing. Might say that those 5 those 5 bars of shittim wood might be a representation of fivefold ministry in Ephesians. Prophets, priest, or not the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, and the apostle, those are the ones that are set to hold the church together. But these boards, the thing I want to bring about these boards is that these boards were made of shittim wood. And they were overlaid with gold. They covered each board with gold. Inside was wood. Outside was gold. And when you looked at that, you would see that gold covered board. You didn't see the shittim wood. You only saw the gold. And when God looks down on you and I, what does He see? Have you been clothed with the righteousness of Christ? Have you been overlaid with gold? Purity. Are you covered that way? Even though you're still wood, even though you feel like you're wood, even though you act like wood, have you been covered with gold? And that's the hope that I have to offer, is that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, He clothes us with His righteousness. He clothes us with His purity. And I can walk that life out by faith. Now, do I have some work to do? I do. I recognize there's nothing I can do to make myself pure. All right? Can you make yourself pure? Is there anything you can do to make yourself pure? There's not. Purity comes only through Jesus. Only through being in Him. And He in me. The only way for purity is through Jesus. There is no other way. But do I have a responsibility? He says, keep thyself pure. I have something to do. Right? I need to keep myself pure. I can't make myself pure, but there's something that I need to do. There's things and choices I have in life that I can do and I can make that I can walk in purity. I can stay pure. But I can't make myself pure. Do you get that? If I'm a gold-covered board, if I'm covered with the righteousness of Christ, if I'm covered with the purity of Christ, then I am pure in Him. And I need to walk it out. He that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Under the pure, all things are pure. If I'm in Christ, from God's perspective, I'm pure. And God gives me the grace and ability to walk it out and to keep myself pure. Now, if I choose to do things that are impure, does that make me impure? How is it that the things I do can make me impure, but there's no way I can do anything to become pure? Is that true? I can do things that defile me, but I can't do things that make me pure. But I can always go back to Jesus. Reckon who He is. Reckon who I am in Him. Accept His righteousness. Accept His purity back into my life. Confess my sins. Repent of them. And be pure again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God bless you as you allow the Lord Jesus to make you pure, to spring a vision into your heart for your children, whatever age they are, that you can have a roadmap to purity for your children. God bless you. Thank you for those, to each one of you who was willing to take part in this exercise this morning. My prayer is that somehow by this exercise you could catch a vision for the age bracket that you find yourself in with your family. Don't give up. Never stop fighting. Never compromise your purity for something else. Never let it go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for the purity that is in Christ and that you are pure. Your word is very pure. And you have made a way for us to be pure. And even to live in purity. But there is work to be done. There are choices to be made. Father, I pray for the parents in this congregation, inside the walls, inside the gates, for the parents as they set up the watchmen. Oh, may they have a zeal for purity for their children. Lest the children struggle and have deep regrets. I pray, Father, to the outworking of purity in our homes and our congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Emmanuel, for sharing that word of the Lord with us today and for all of you who participated in giving counsel, wisdom to us. It's a very serious subject, very far-reaching, and I'm grateful to be in a body of believers where these things can be talked about and presented in grace and truth. Maybe there's someone here this morning that has a word to share to the edifying of the body. Raise your hand. The ushers will get a microphone to you. Is there anyone who has something to share? Timothy's over here. Is there someone else?
Yes, I want to personally thank Brother Manuel for talking on that subject, and especially of warning about how little boys may learn from other little boys. But I would also like to encourage mothers to be very, very aware of when they are with families, who their children are playing with, where they're playing, and what they're playing. Because many times abuse happens with people you trust. You may watch the stranger out there, but many abuse happens with people you trust. I was involved in working with abuse victims for a number of years, and the story after story of a trusted loved one who had abused little girls. I just cannot warn mothers enough. Please watch your little girls. You may trust people, but you can't trust Satan. Satan is out there to destroy children if he can. If he can destroy a child and it's not dealt with, it can destroy a home, a school, and a church. Two experiences we had was of an uncle we loved and trusted we later found out was not to be trusted. Another experience was one of our boys came home and said that cousin had taught him this. Well, John talked with cousin's father, and cousin's father said, "My children know nothing of this." what you're talking about. Please don't live in denial of your children maybe knowing more than you realize, and children are going to be children. I just warn again, mothers and fathers, please be watchful of your little girls.
I appreciated everything that all the parents said about living a life, an example, because when you speak without that example, the words are meaningless. But I would also like to plead with the parents to, especially as we grow older, teach us why you don't want us to watch those movies. You don't want us to read those books, to wear those clothes. Because in that area, it seems to me like not always more is caught than taught. Live the life, but then explain to us why, so that we will understand and so that we will pass it on to our children. Because if we don't understand why you put these safeguards in place, how will we know to pass them on to our children? And I want to bless my parents for the way they've done that in teaching us why they put these safeguards in place.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I want to leave us with this word from Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. And that's what we want for ourselves and for our children. And yes, the war is on. But we are more than conquerors through Jesus, who loved us and loves us and gave himself for us. And if there's anyone here today that is convicted of impurity, there's a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. I want to agree with my brother Emmanuel, a message of hope, that there is hope, there is salvation, there is cleansing. It says there in 1 Corinthians that such were some of you, fornicators, immoral, but ye are washed and ye are sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's hope for anyone here today. Don't leave in despair. Jesus died so that there can be cleansing and washing and renewing. Amen. Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.